Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Strike Zone on KMOX, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
It is a Strike Zone hour here on KMOX, all part of a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name's Matt Pauly. Phone lines, by the way, are open if you'd like to give us a call. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. As we do following Cardinals weekday day games, we don't really take phone calls during the extra inning show like we do on weeknight games, but I always try to give you the opportunity to chime in some form or fashion. So if you've got anything to say about the Cardinals, they win today 5-1 over Arizona. They end up taking the series 2 out of 3. For a lot of people, yesterday's performance is still on their mind, a game that they lost 14-1. But all in all, they took 2 out of 3. And we've all said it over and over, you win series, you are going to be in a pretty good spot. So if you've got thoughts on where the Cardinals are at, thoughts on the Jordan Walker decision. There's a lot of people who really just want to see Jordan Walker being given the opportunity to go out, play in right field every single day. And whatever happens, happens at the big league level, and you just let him play through his struggles. I would respectfully disagree with that. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and data communication needs. When you think about the future when it comes to Jordan Walker, you need him to become the best version of himself. And if the organization feels like that's not happening at the major league level, then you give him the opportunity to reset at the minor league level. Oliver Marmol said it earlier today when he was talking about it. They made it very clear that they still believe in Jordan Walker. Just because you send a guy down doesn't mean you've lost belief in him, but you're trying to help them develop into being the best version of themselves. And are the Cardinals great at doing that? They don't have a great track record at it right now. We can't run away from the facts. And that's where they're at. I do think there is value in allowing players' development to kind of take place in an organic kind of way. I don't love the idea of speeding players through the minor league system. And I know, as somebody who takes the phone calls after games and talks to Cardinals fans all the time and have been doing this for a long time, even in places other than St. Louis, when your team is struggling and there's somebody at the AAA level that's just killing it, you want to see that player up in the big leagues. I get that. I understand that. It takes some discipline to sit there and say, you know what, we're gonna let this thing marinate a little bit more. And not that we can totally apply that to the Jordan Walker situation, because he's been here and the expectation is that he was going to be here and be a middle of the order hitter for the Cardinals this year. But if it takes a little while at AAA for him to get to a place where he's got his swing where you want it to be, where he can continue to hit the ball hard and then, but also get it off the infield, that's something that would be a very, very, very good thing. Kevin Wheeler, who you hear on this program, former host of this very show, and somebody who you hear obviously during the DGS, he showed some, or he tweeted out some of the StatCast data from Jordan Walker earlier today. And one area that you would think that Walker absolutely needs to be good on is the ability to hit fastballs. Well, he's hitting 125 against fastballs this year. That there's your sign that something needed to be fixed. So he's hitting 125 against fastballs. Get him down to Memphis. Let him figure it out there, because the chances of him being able to figure it out here, I think we were seeing more and more, just was not likely. Got a text message from the 618, says, I'm happy with the move. I think he'll have he'll have time to figure things out, and he'll be back by the All-Star game. I would agree with that. He just, the pressure just needed to be taken off. If the Cardinals were a better team, if the Cardinals were not going through the struggles that they're going through, maybe it would be a little bit different as well, because the pressure around this team right now, it is something to be sure. And just being a young guy dealing with your personal struggles, all while the team is dealing with bigger struggles as well, it's a tough place to be. So they are going to try to work through that, and hopefully it works out all right for them. There's a lot of guys that got to hit better. We've seen a little bit more from Paul Goldschmidt recently. We've seen a little bit more from Nolan Gorman here recently. So that's a good maybe first half step, quarter step. It doesn't even feel like it's a full step. But like I've said over and over, and this is where I struggle the most, and we talked about it last night, I continue to believe in who this team is from an offensive standpoint. I think this is a good offensive club. I do. I think there's too many guys on this roster who are good hitters, and I feel like time is going to allow them to get to who they are. But what if it doesn't? But that's what I've been thinking to myself a lot. But what if it doesn't? Because last year, I believed in the Cardinals as being a very good team. Last year, I thought that they were eventually going to kind of get it going and that they were going to end up winning the division. I said that over and over and over and over again. I wasn't the only one who said it. I have no problem admitting when I was wrong. But yeah, that's where I was at last year, and we got pretty deep into the season before I finally came around to the realization. It's like, okay, it's not going to happen for this team this year, and I got that. That's kind of what I'm struggling with right now when assessing who this team is from an offensive standpoint, because I do believe in who these hitters are for the most part. I do think that this team has the potential to really get going from an offensive standpoint. But they're not doing it, and we're early, but we're not super early, right? Like we're coming up on May, and once you get into May, then all of a sudden, the small sample size and just it's still early and all those things, they're not quite as true as they were before. And the fact that there are so many players who are struggling offensively and are off their career norms, that's a little bit startling to see. I would say overall, though, it's good to see some small movement. Brendan Donovan, he goes 2-for-4 today. That was a good step for him. Nolan Arenado, he's not hitting for power really, but he's hitting for average, and he's driving in runs. He's the best hitter with runners in scoring position right now. Small details, but Paul Goldschmidt with his two hits today. Got off the highway. He's at 200 now, so that is good to see. Nolan Gorman is almost there. He had one hit today. He's at 198, so the numbers are slowly moving up. The team batting average is 220. There also are some guys who are starting to fall back a little bit. Ivan Herrera goes 0-for-3 today, and he's hitting 216, and that was always going to happen. And the reason I say that is, any young player who's really getting the opportunity to be an everyday guy in the lineup for the first time, and that's what they're trying to do with Herrera, at some point the league is going to adjust to you, and then you adjust back to the league. So I think Herrera is still taking good at-bats. He's still making contact. He's not coming up with the hits that he was coming up with earlier. He's hitting 216 at this point. And, yeah, we'll see what happens with him moving forward. I like what I've seen from him, but we would be lying to you if we didn't mention the fact that those numbers are coming back to earth a little bit as well. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to have Ricky Horton with us. A little bit of a different kind of conversation, though. We're going to focus in on a number of people connected with baseball, Whitey Herzog, Kenny Holtzman, and also Carl Erskine, who all passed away in the last week or so. All those guys have connections to St. Louis, including Erskine, and all those guys have connections to Ricky. So we're going to talk with him about that. Had a fun conversation that I recorded with him earlier in the week, really looking back at the life and legacy of those three players. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line. It's Strike Zone here on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Welcome back into the program. About to have a real fun conversation, and it hasn't been a real fun last week or so when it comes to losing some people that are very close to baseball in the St. Louis area, in Kenny Holtzman, in addition to Whitey Herzog, and also Carl Erskine is somebody who's got an interesting St. Louis connection. We're going to talk about all that with former Cardinals pitcher, radio broadcaster Ricky Horton. Ricky, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too, Matt. Yeah, it has been a tough week, and you know, when you get involved with people and connected to people in this game, they become like family to you. They really do. And there's, you know, you have a special affinity for people that have played baseball, whatever the number is, 20,000 people in the history of the planet have played Major League Baseball. And when you run across people that have, they're lifelong friends of yours. And so it has been a tough week.
I hope this comes across the right way. The one thing that happens from a positive standpoint when people pass away is sometimes their stories and their legacies get kind of lost, and it's an opportunity to bring that up again. Maybe we should be doing that more when people are alive, but that's another story for another day.
Sure.
Kenny Holtzman's a guy who, man, he was one heck of a pitcher.
Oh, he was in the World Series multiple times. He's a St. Louisan, and you know, I had several Kenny Holtzman baseball cards as a kid, and you know, at that time, the cards that I have, most of the cards that I have of him, and I still have them, over 4,000 cards from my youth. He was with the Cubs, but you know, I also remember him vividly with the Yankees, which was kind of one of the teams I rooted for as a kid, and so at least from a pitching point of view, I remember watching him pitch. You know, he was with the A's, three straight World Series championships with the A's, had a lot of rings, and again, so he's an accomplished pitcher. He's the last pitcher in baseball history to throw a no-hitter without striking out a batter. Now that, you know, that is never going to happen again, probably, and for the no-hitter is hard enough, but to not strike out a batter in a game where you want the swing and miss stuff is probably not happening. But beyond that, I got to meet him in St. Louis. He was a longtime athletic director, activities director at the local Jewish Community Center in Chesterfield, and I was a member there for several years. And so I'd meet him at the J and bring my baseball team that I was coaching, my son and his buddies, and we would hit in the basement. He'd be be the guy setting everything up for us. And, you know, just a common dude, just kind of hanging with us, talking to the players and telling everybody, hey, anytime you want to come back here, I'll be glad to help you. And so just, again, just like the guy next door, really. Yeah. And so so just an uncommon career for him, but just a very, very likable guy. I'm honored that I got the chance to know him a little bit.
A sidebar on that, as somebody who was a member of the J2 at one point, there are so many great former athletes who are just members there. I remember the Senior Olympics were in town one year, and I did some stories. It's incredible the athletes that are just there on an everyday basis.
Well, you know, they were more athletic than me when I was working out there, but it's close to home, and just, you know, I've also worked out at the YMCA, but you know, you're around people that care about fitness, and of course, that's our world. So, it was a special place, and they had great facilities there, especially for, you know, training young players who wanted to play baseball or softball. And so just serving the community. That's what places like that do. And that community sometimes includes people that are good athletes.
You've said a lot about Whitey Herzog and here on KMOX. We've done a lot on him. But, he'll continue to be honored for, you know, time. Every time somebody calls up my postgame show and says, I wish the Cardinals played more Whitey ball, that's a credit to him, and that's something that's never going to go away.
Yeah, so you've got a whole brand of baseball named after you. It tells you why he's a Hall of Famer, and everybody knows what that is. Everybody that we meet, every city we go to, knows the legacy of Whitey's ability to manage. And what I said about Ken Holtzman is also true of Whitey Herzog. You're talking about baseball royalty, but yet he also had the common touch. He could actually connect with people, with fans. He connected with the fan base here. He re-energized the fan base, not for the first time. Obviously, the Cardinals had great tradition before Whitey Herzog, and they've had it since. But he really re-energized it at a time where it was needed and put people back in the ballpark again in the millions. And so I think the Cardinals franchise is indebted to him, but he never I think he always understood that it was a two-way street. He was indebted to having the job, and that's why he was always at the ballpark after retirement. He just loved being around the stadium, watching games. He was up to speed about every pitcher. I remember conversations with him about Jack Flaherty and Paul DeJong and Adam Wainwright. He would talk about the players. He knew what they were doing. He knew what they needed to do. He knew what they were working on. I mean, he just honestly knew the game inside and out.
The one guy that's got the St. Louis connection that might surprise a few folks is Carl Erskine, because we remember him specifically from the Dodgers, a world champion, a great, great player, but somebody that you have particular knowledge about his connection to the Cardinals.
Yeah, Carl died the day after Whitey did, and so 3 days in a row the people we're talking about was Ken and then Whitey and then Carl Erskine, who was 97 when he passed in Indiana. He had received last year the Buck O'Neill Award for the Hall of Fame for his longtime service to baseball, and certainly his service to dealing and helping with civil rights causes along the way. I actually got connected with him because he was very involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, as I have been my adult life. And so a mutual friend kind of connected us, and he gave me his phone number to my friend and asked me to call him. So I called him about 3 or 4 years ago, sent me a book that I'm holding in my hand right now, which is Tales from the Dodgers Dugout that he wrote. But he gave me a lot of those tales on the phone when we talked. I had a special conversation with Carl Erskine, who was a member of the 1948 Brooklyn Dodgers. His rookie year in the big leagues was the year after Jackie Robinson started. And what he told me on that phone call is that Jackie Robinson did more to assimilate him to being a big leaguer. He helped him out more. That's the one guy that came to me, but beyond everybody on that team, to help me. It was Jackie Robinson, which I just find just wonderful that Jackie obviously had a lot of people that were detractors, and he had teammates that helped him, Pee Wee Reese most notably, but that Jackie quickly turned and started helping teammates. In fact, he told me in that conversation that Jackie should have been the first African-American manager of baseball, too, because he was a leader in our clubhouse. Everybody respected him, and he would have been a great manager. He knew the game inside and out.
Specifically, the Cardinals connection, and this connects him with Jack Buck as well. You told me the story, but share it for our audience because it's very interesting.
So I also learned that in the phone call. So we had this FCA connection and this Dodger connection, and I kind of thought that was it. And I was really interested in learning about the Dodgers and the early Dodgers and Jackie Robinson in particular, Pee Wee Reese. But somewhere along the line, he said, oh, yeah, I also did some Cardinal games with Jack Buck. And it's like, well, you did what? And so he went on to say that Jack was recruiting him essentially to be one of the broadcasters for the Cardinals. And I don't know how many games they did, but he said he did a couple of games, and Jack was trying to ask him to move to St. Louis, and he didn't want to leave his what he had in his family and friends in Indiana. So he said no, but he actually considered it. And so I think about this connection that I had with Mr. Erskine, which I feel like that's what I should call him, of and just the treasure of the conversation that I had with him, but that we had this connection of not only the broadcasting but the Dodgers and FCA was just a sweet connection that, again, happens in the game of baseball. You get to know people, you get to know people that are from maybe different backgrounds, but you still have some things in common.
He had a child who had Down syndrome, and I know that became something that was something he was an advocate for, and he wrote a book about that. You're holding a book that he wrote. I mean, you talk about a guy, there's a statue of him in Anderson, Indiana. You just talk about a guy who left a legacy.
Yeah, I talk to some of my FCA friends that were on staff in the state of Indiana. We talk about him like he was, again, we're talking royalty again. We said that about, you know, Ken Holtzman and his career in the World Series, and Whitey, the Hall of Fame manager, but he was a leader in the community like times 100. He was a bank president for a lot of years, and very successful in business, but also kind of a community-minded guy that everybody loved, and so and the causes would be part of that. And I know that he did a lot to talk about his faith and FCA, which again is my kind of my wheelhouse. But even beyond that, just a solid citizen that. That, you know, we're gonna everybody's gonna miss him in Indiana. We'll miss Whitey here in St. Louis and around the world, and we'll certainly miss Ken Holtzman too.
I believe he was Sandy Koufax is now the last remaining survivor from the 55 Dodgers, if I have that correct. That's why I think conversations like these are so important, because folks from that era of this game are leaving us, and it's important that these type of stories and they're out there for people to enjoy.
So we have our baseball cards. We can Google people. We can go to Wikipedia and find out information, but you can't always get the heart of somebody. And so, you know, just having a chance to talk about those three guys and the heart of what they meant to me, you know, Kenny Holtzman helped me, and Carl gave me such great things to think about in terms of our connection, and Whitey helped me in ways beyond measure. And so that's the stuff we have to keep alive, not just info, because info's one thing. You know, as I said about, if I've been saying this about Whitey all week, well, you know, I learned that long time ago, you manage things, but you lead people. So, you know, things are one thing, but people and the stories and the connection and the heart and the mind and you know, interaction, what you care about and how you treat people, all that stuff is that's a whole different story. And Whitey was a great leader, and glad I got to see him do that. And I think he helped a generation of people become Cardinal fans.
Ricky, thank you so much for taking this time.
You bet. My pleasure, Matt.
That was a conversation that I had earlier in the week with Ricky Horton, former Cardinals pitcher, obviously part of the radio broadcast team now. And he really wanted to be able to share the Carl Erskine story and his connection to Cardinals baseball. And I bet the vast majority of people listening right now had no clue that Erskine had that connection to the Cardinals and did some Cardinals games with Jack Buck, and maybe had an opportunity, if he would have chosen to leave his home in Indiana and move to St. Louis, that he would have been able to be part of the Cardinals broadcast team on a more permanent basis. But we talked about this the night that we did the show when Whitey Herzog passed away. It is, and then the next day when we ran the Chattersbox podcast where Whitey talked with Kyle McClellan. It's so important that we have these conversations, that we save these things. That's why I love the audio archive that we have here at KMOX and with the Cardinals Radio Network. And you know, every week, seemingly, we're adding to that archive, whether it's the Friday Night Live by Lowe's or other things that we're doing, some of the conversations we have during the off season with the Countdown to Opening Day show, this conversation that I just had with Ricky. Like the fact that Carl Erskine did some Cardinals games with Jack Buck might have been a nugget that was just kind of lost in the passing of time. And now we have a record of that thanks to that conversation. I think things like that are really, really important. And I would say that especially in this baseball community of St. Louis, it is that much more important. All right, again, we have an opportunity for you to chime in on the Cardinals. If you would like to do so, you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. On the table, thoughts on Jordan Walker and his demotion. Also, how you're feeling after the Cardinals take 2 of 3 from a good Diamondbacks team, but at the same time, the one loss was really, really ugly. We'll continue on. It is a Strike Zone Hour, and it's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
About 20 minutes left here in the program. Up after me, it's at your service. We've got Brad Young in the house tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. If you want to talk Cardinals baseball with us before we wrap up, you can certainly do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or by tweeting at me, at Matt Pauly on air. I said this earlier, but it just continues to be really remarkable, the roller coaster ride that this past few games was for the Cardinals. When you think about where the club was entering the Arizona series, having lost 4 games in a row, having been swept by the Brewers in what was their first divisional series of the year, having fallen 6 games back in the division, just seemed like nothing was going right. And then nothing goes right in the first game against the Diamondbacks for a while, until all of a sudden they're able to start scrapping together some runs, and Paul Goldschmidt hit that home run to tie it up on Friday, and then Monday, and then Nolan Gorman hits the 2-run walk-off home run to give him the win, 5-3. And not everybody, but it's feeling pretty good at that point. It's feeling pretty darn good. You feel like, okay, maybe this was the breakthrough moment for the club. And then yesterday, they lay an egg. They had a bad game. They fall flat, whatever cliche you want to use. They lose by a 14-1 score yesterday. And the anger that I sensed from the Cardinals fans who chose to interact with the postgame show last night, that's about as angry of a group of fans as I have experienced since being here. There was a handful of games last year where fans were pretty darn angry. But last night, and again, maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but last night felt like about as much anger as you could possibly have after people were excited about what happened the night before, to follow that up with a bit of a no-show. And then today, it starts bad for the Cardinals. Kyle Gibson loads the bases in the top of the first inning and gives up a run, but then he settles in after that, and the Cardinals offensively able to turn it on a bit at the end of Jordan Montgomery's day, and then certainly against the Diamondbacks bullpen, and they find a way to win 5-1. And at the end of this whole weekend, you take 2 out of 3. Not weekend, but midweek series. At the end of the series, you take 2 out of 3. Going into the series, if somebody said, okay, they're going to take 2 out of 3 from Arizona, you'd probably be happy. You would have loved to have a series sweep, because then that gives you at least a .500 homestand after you got swept by the Brewers. But if you're just looking at it from a series-by-series perspective, take the series against a pretty good Arizona team, a Diamondbacks team that played in the World Series last year, you probably feel pretty okay about it. But because of the way the 3 games ended up playing out, you take 2 of 3, but it feels just a little bit off. And that's what this team, I think, is kind of fighting against right now, is every time something goes wrong, it probably feels bigger than it actually is. And again, I'll raise my hand and take my share of the blame for maybe the tone or the context of of yesterday's postgame show after they lost 14-1. But in the moment, at that moment yesterday, that felt like just a terrible, terrible, terrible loss. It felt like they had this opportunity coming off the great win the day before to finally gain some traction and get rolling. And I, like many people, inflated the importance of that game yesterday. And then they win today, and they take 2 of 3, and you just don't really know what to think. Offensively, they just need to get going a little bit more. That's the main thing here. We're seeing a little bit of signs of life from a Paul Goldschmidt, from a Nolan Gorman. The lineup does look a little bit different on an everyday basis. From an injury standpoint, I still think we are a ways away from a Dylan Carlson or a Tommy Edman being able to rejoin this team. Those guys are not going to be going out on this next trip. They're going to stay back and continue to work on things from a health standpoint. So they are going to work on those things here in St. Louis while the team is on the road. We might still be a month away from those guys being back on the roster. At some point, Lars Nootbaar is going to have to play some center field. That's the bottom line on this, because Michael Ciani is not going to play every moment of center field between now and whenever Dylan Carlson or a Tommy Edman end up returning. At some point, Nootbaar is going to have to play a little bit of center field. And, you know, I appreciate the Cardinals' dedication to being a better defensive team, being a better fielding team. Part of the reason for not putting Nootbaar in center field, part of the reason is he's not as good of a defender, he's not as good of a fielder as Michael Ciani and as when Victor Scott II was here. And part of it is also trying to make sure that you avoid injury with him because there's a little bit more ground to cover out there. I think that's maybe the smaller part of the equation. But I would say this. There's going to be one play every 4 or 5 days, maybe one play a week, that a Michael Ciani or a Victor Scott II makes that a Lars Nootbaar does not make. There's just not going to – it's going to happen every once in a while because Nootbaar is not as good of a defensive outfielder as those guys, and you love being able to put your best defensive group out there on an everyday basis. I understand that 100%. But if you really take a step back and assess the situation – there's going to be maybe a play a week, maybe two plays a week that do not get made. And maybe it's a big play. Maybe it's the difference between a win and a loss. Like, I'm not trying to dismiss and discount the importance of defense. I'm not. So perhaps the play that does not get made by a Lars Nootbaar that would have been made by a Michael Ciani, maybe that ends up costing you a game one day. And that would be something that we would spend a fair amount of time talking about. But I would make the argument that the 4 at-bats that you would get from a Lars Nootbaar will way outweigh the one play that's maybe not made per week or one play that's not made every 4 or 5 days because you have Nootbaar in center. It's a little bit of a different dynamic right now when you have Jordan Walker has been sent down because he was part of the equation in right field. Now you've got Burleson and Donovan, who would probably be in the outfield spots, and you can still use Herrera and Contreras in the same lineup. And again, Herrera, he's not swinging a super hot bat right now. He was before, but his average is down to 216. The challenge right now for this team is to go out there and try to find the lineup and the group of guys on an everyday basis that's going to give you the best opportunity to score some runs. And it seems like at this point that's almost easier said than done. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. Cardinals are off tomorrow. They will spend the off day in New York, and then on Friday they open up a series in New York against the Mets. Miles Michaelis is going to start the opener coming up on Friday. That's going to be a 6:10 first pitch. Our coverage will begin at 5:15. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Thank you.
Starting to wrap up a Graybar Sports Open line. It's a Strike Zone Hour. My name's Matt Pauley. Real quickly, I have had a lot of questions about this, and we got a text message about this asking if the Cardinals are going to do anything in terms of putting a patch on the uniforms for Whitey Herzog. And today in the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, it was reported that the Cardinals are soon going to be placing a number 24 patch on the sleeves of their jerseys, and it's going to remain on there for the rest of the season. Reportedly, the team did want to consult with the Herzog family and get permission from them before moving forward with the patch tribute. So that's part of why it hasn't gone on yet. But they do now have permission from the Herzog family. So you should expect sooner than later, according to this report from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, that there is going to be a circular patch featuring Herzog's name and his retired number 24. And it's going to be on the jerseys for the rest of the season. So for all of you that have been asking that question, there's your answer. Brad Young is in the house. He's got at your service tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Hello, Brad.
Mr. Pauley, how are you?
I am good. It's good to see you.
Good. Good to see you, too.
One of the highlights of my Wednesday nights is getting to see you.
Oh, man, you need to get out more.
Maybe I do.
If that's the highlight, man, you got to get a life, pal.
Fair enough. Last time we talked, we went through the Josh Schert situation.
Yes.
At SLU basketball, and it's been today they signed another player. They signed AJ Casey.
Okay.
It seems like just about every day,
right,
another player is committing to the program. Obviously, they got Robbie Avila, mm-hmm, from Indiana State, along,
exactly,
with Isaiah Swope. Those are the two big pieces. But Brad, as somebody I know, you want to see SLU do well. I think the good news is this team is already a top-tier team in the A-10 conference.
Right, and that's what I wanted to check with you on. I'm a graduate of SLU Law, love the school. There's some things about SLU I haven't liked. Take their positions they've been taking on some political and moral issues, but that, as it may, I still love the team. I would go to a couple of games every year, but they've really just transformed themselves, haven't they? And just almost like overnight.
Yeah, it's just like that. And a lot of people thought that maybe Schertz would bring in like his entire starting five from Indiana State. He brought in two guys, but three guys went elsewhere. That hasn't slowed him down at all, as he's been able. And they brought back Gibson Jimerson, and he's got the opportunity,
right,
to be the SLU's all-time leading scorer. I'm not trying to oversell things, but really when you look at an Atlantic 10 conference that isn't great, this team right now on paper looks like probably a top four A-10 school.
And that's amazing in such a very, very short period of time. And I wish Travis Ford all the best. I liked him personally. I think he was a great cheerleader for SLU. But it was time for a change. And my goodness, SLU went all in when they made that change.
They did. And they have committed from a name, image, likeness standpoint, which that's the only way you can compete now in college athletics. You have to have money for these players. And they've got it right now.
Well, I know, and I guess that's the question. I know we don't have a lot of time here, but doesn't an NIL emphasis, doesn't it require a lot of corporate support, a lot of donor support?
Yeah, money's got to come from somewhere.
Exactly. And how is it that SLU is able to put that together in such a short period of time? Is it all just based on Schertz coming into town?
I think a lot of it is. I think there are people with deep pockets who were ready to give the NIL collective money if they got the kind of guy that they wanted to get, mm-hmm, and that's what they have with Josh Schertz. So, look, there's a lot of people connected with SLU that's got a few bucks in their pocket.
Right.
So if they're doing things the right way and they've got the right people organizing things, I think they're going to be as good as you can be from an NIL. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be like a Power 5 school when it comes to that, but
right,
you're in the A-10, they're going to do as well as any A-10 school out there.
Well, listen, I donate to SLU, but what I contribute isn't going to add anything to the NIL, I assure you.
Got about 30 seconds. What do you have coming up on the program tonight?
Well, we're going to – I typically don't like to talk about Trump on the show, but there's so many legal issues. We're going to be breaking some of those down tonight, taking your calls, talking about bills in Congress, and it'll be an open line for 2 hours.
That's Brad Young. He's got At Your Service. I'll be back with you tomorrow. No Cardinals baseball tomorrow, so a full two-hour show tomorrow from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.